Dear friends in Christ, we celebrate today with great joy the end of the beautiful Christmas season, celebrating the feast of the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan. The first reading we heard this morning is one of the most sublime passages in the whole of sacred scripture from the prophet Isaiah, proclaiming the good news of comfort and peace and reconciliation and joy to God's people. In fact, most of the prophetic words we heard in that first reading have inspired some of the greatest music that's ever been written to the praise of God. They're the opening songs and choruses of George Frederick Handel's great oratorio, sacred music, The Messiah. They've been immortalized as part of our beautiful Christian tradition. Music that's been unsurpassable. And so, yes, it's a wonderful, joyful moment to celebrate with triumph the end of this glorious Christmas season. But we need to wonder, why do we celebrate the baptism of Jesus? After all, that took place when he's an adult. Why do we celebrate it as part of the Christmas season? To answer that question, we need to know a little bit about the ancient history of the church. Back in the early centuries, there were three special moments in the life of Jesus that the early Catholics celebrated together to make up the feast of the Epiphany, the manifestation. Now, last Sunday, we celebrated what we call the Feast of the Epiphany, but in ancient times, there were two other things that they celebrated together on the same day. The visit of the three wise men, the baptism of the Lord that we celebrate today, and the third one was the first miracle that Jesus worked when he changed the water into wine at the wedding at Cana. What do those three things have in common? They were all manifestations showing something new about Jesus and who he was to different groups of people. When the Magi came to worship the baby Jesus, that was like manifesting or showing the Son of God to all the different nations of the world, the non-Jewish people, the Gentiles. As we recall from last Sunday's Mass, very important that the three wise men were not Jewish people. They were foreigners from a long way away, just like all of us today. We're not Jewish people. But Jesus has saved us and called us. He's shown himself to all the peoples of the world. In the baptism of Jesus that we celebrate today, it's another moment in which Jesus shows himself, manifests himself for the first time. This time it's to the Jewish people. Remember at the River Jordan there, John was preaching to the people of Israel, exhorting them to come and repent and receive that baptism as a sign of their turning away from sin. And that's the moment that God chose to reveal the identity of his Son in a great mysterious vision. The voice of the Father coming from heaven, "You are my beloved Son." The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit there, represented mysteriously by that beautiful dove that they saw appearing on Jesus' head when he came up out of the water. The third of those events, the changing of the water into wine at Cana, that was another occasion when Jesus showed himself for the first time in a special way to his own personal friends, his chosen apostles, his disciples. For the first time, he worked a miracle that showed his divine power over the created world. He was able to change water into wine. And so these three events come together, and that's why we celebrate Jesus' baptism as joining together with the end of the Christmas season. It's like a bridge between the celebration of Jesus' birth and the celebration of his adult public life, which we'll be celebrating and observing and meditating about in the gospel readings during what we call ordinary time, when the priest will have green vestments and we're accompanying Jesus through his preaching and teaching and miracles when he was an adult. Well, that started, of course, with his baptism in the Jordan. Yesterday, some of us were at a presentation by our 9 o'clock choir leader and liturgical scholar, Stan Matheny. He gave a beautiful presentation about the richness of prayer that we have in what's called the Divine Office. That's the official prayer book of the church that particularly priests and religious and nuns recite. But it's really for all Catholics if they can manage to recite some of it. It's a great treasure house of prayer and spirituality. And I noticed when I was praying the Divine Office for today's feast, beautiful prayer that comes through, and I think it can help to focus our thoughts about what this feast is all about. It says, I'll read you out what it says. This is the prayer from the Divine Office for today. O chosen one of God, you did not break the crushed reed, nor quench the wavering flame. Let all men know your compassion for our world of weakness. End of quote. What does this prayer mean about breaking the crushed reed, not breaking the crushed reed, and not quenching the wavering flame? Those words come from another part of the Bible, and they symbolize the weakness of our weak and sinful human nature. A crushed reed, it's so weak, right? You can easily just kind of snap it. And a little flame on a candle, it's just so weak, it's almost flickering out. Very weak. And those symbols mean that because we are sinful people, our human nature, created beautiful and wonderful by God, we've weakened it by our sins. But in order to solve that problem, God didn't just sort of throw out the human race and wipe us all out and say, well, I'm going to start all over again, make a new Adam and Eve and start from scratch. No. He decided to take that weak and fallen sinful nature and heal it from within by coming and entering into it. So we can see here, dear brothers and sisters, a beautiful link between the first and the last feast days of the Christmas season. The first one, Christmas, then we celebrate that Jesus has come into our human nature. He's been born as a little child like us. With his baptism, he is also identifying with us, but now in a different way, even identifying with our sinful nature. Even though he's perfectly free from sin, he puts himself in the place of sinners to lead us, to identify with us, to be one with us. Because when he receives baptism, remember John the Baptist didn't really want to do that. He said, "Why? You shouldn't be baptized." No, he said, "No, you baptize me." The other people who received baptism from John, of course, are sinners, and that's a sign of repentance from sin. Jesus didn't commit sin, but he wants to put himself in our place to lead our sinful humanity in this wonderful, humble way. He goes down into the water and he receives that same baptism from John that all the other sinful people were receiving. Of course, that baptism by John was really only a forerunner of the great sacrament of Christian baptism that we have all received. John's baptism, it wasn't the same kind of baptism that you and I have received. It was just a sign of repentance. But when we were baptized, we received something even more wonderful. Most of us were baptized as little babies, and we received cleaning of the stain of original sin. And if baptized as adults, that cleans away all of the sins of our past life if we're truly repentant. But as well as the forgiveness of sin, when we are baptized, we become adopted sons and daughters of God Himself. You know, some people are very proud in this world of belonging to some famous or royal family. We belong to a much more wonderful family, the greatest of all royal families, the family of Christ the King, of the ruler of the universe. When we're baptized, God adopts us as His little sons and daughters, gives us that new dignity. He raises us above our natural condition and makes us sharers in His own divine character, as St. Peter tells us in the Bible. Children of God. We can think what a wonderful privilege that is. Some of you may have seen in the last few days or the last week, there's been a lot of news on the internet and a video going around in which Pope Francis has been sending a message to people of other religions, Hindus and Jews and Buddhists and Muslims who are not Christians, and he's encouraging tolerance and dialogue between the different religions at a time when there's a lot of hate and tension, of course, and he wants to have to spread peace there. But he said something that some people were left a little bit perplexed but didn't quite understand. He said, all of us, including all these other non-Christian people, we're all children of God. And some people said, well, don't we have to be baptized to be children of God? Well, let's explain. Pope Francis was using the word children of God in that occasion in a more general or broader sense of the word. Of course, since God is the one who made all of us, every single person is made by God, and we're all made in His likeness and image. So in a general kind of sense, yes, all of us are children of God, even those with no religion, because we have that human nature. It's a gift of God. But children in the more strict sense, members of God's own family by sharing and being united with His Son Jesus, that's what comes with baptism. That's what really makes us true children, adopted children of God. So let's take away as we end this Christmas season, as we think about Jesus' baptism, let's remember our own baptism. Let's thank Him for healing our sinful human nature from within, for not breaking that crushed reed or quenching the flickering flame, but healing and raising us up so that we too, as Jesus' brothers and sisters, may become aware of that tremendous calling that we have, and may that encourage us to live as He wishes us to live, through His grace and through the intercession of His Blessed Mother, through whom He came to this fallen world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.